I believe, but I'm mad at God. Has it occurred to you, my friends, that sometimes when you're angry at God, you may be deflecting or dumping or projecting your own guilt upon Him, charging Him with wrong because you don't know what to do with your guilt? Because you feel that God is accusing you. But suppose God has taken away all of your guilt and is not blaming you at all. Then suddenly there is less reason for your anger. Well, we are going to explore that, my friends. Colin Cook here, and How It Happens. Thank you for joining me today. And you're listening to a new series on the Book of Romans, topically treated, I Believe, But I'm Mad at God. Okay, then, putting aside the issues that you've written down where you're angry with God, we'll come back to them later. I want you to think now of projection. What do I mean by projection? I mean this, that you and I, we feel guilty about life, don't we? You and I have hidden forms of guilt right from childhood. Perhaps it's things we've done wrong. Perhaps it's shame being interpreted as guilt because our parents or some people in our early childhood shamed us and left us not feeling worth much. We have this guilt, but it is also guilt from that is genuine in regard to God. It is not simply false guilt in regard to false shame dumped on us or false guilt dumped on us. It's guilt also from the things we've done wrong in life, and above all, the fact that we've separated ourselves and we are separated beings from God. There's something of a void there. There's something of a void that makes us feel guilty and ashamed. But what do we usually do with guilt, my friends, when we can't handle it, when we don't know how to get forgiveness, when we don't know the God of forgiveness who has taken His sin, our sins and our humanity upon Himself in the person of His Son? What do we do with that guilt? We project it. We throw it on someone else. We seek to cast blame somewhere else. You're familiar with that, aren't you? You feel wrong about something you've done. Somebody points it out, and you go into a brief dialogue about blame. There's this that happened, and that happened, and it really wasn't my fault because under the circumstances I couldn't do anything else. And we very often go through this blame game in order to project guilt somewhere else than on ourselves because we can't handle it. Now, the greatest guilt, the greatest projection, I should say, that was ever made was humanity's projection of guilt upon God. We blame God for things that happen. We blame Him that He's painted us into a corner. He's given us this human nature that we cannot control, and yet that is loading us with guilt, and which He does not seem to help us with, this human nature, that is, and He doesn't seem to alleviate our guilt, but point His finger more and more, and says, what's wrong with you, and why don't you shape up and do things right? And so what we do is then blame God. And the blaming of God, of course, can be accusations against God. Why does He do this? Why doesn't He do that? The blaming of God can be accusations that He isn't present, that He really is an absentee God, and that He doesn't care about His universe. The ultimate blaming of God, of course, is simply not believing He exists, that He couldn't possibly be a good God if He allowed so much to happen. And what about this one, my friends? The blaming of God can be the cross of Jesus Christ itself. Remember, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, but also, as the book of Acts says in Acts chapter 2, Jesus of Nazareth, Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, having crucified and put Him to death. So we killed God, we blamed God, not just the Jews, not just the Romans, all of mankind blamed God for the mess of the world and dumped that blame on Jesus, the execution of the Son of God. So you see, we're used to blaming. We blame other people to get off ourselves, and then we blame God because we don't know where to put this anger. But now, let us suppose God isn't doing what we think he's doing, that he isn't poking his finger into your chest and looking at you with a frown and saying, "Unless you turn and repent, I will kill you and destroy you. I am ready to drop you in hell if you sin one more time." Let's suppose we don't have an angry God like that. Because if we do, my friends, the only thing we can do is skulk away while inwardly, quietly, under our breath, complaining and being angry with him. Let us suppose that God doesn't have that kind of anger. We don't only have to suppose it, dear friend. We know right here, Romans 3, verse 25, God set forth Christ as a propitiation by his blood. Remember the word propitiation? To appease anger. God took his own anger and placed it upon his Son. His anger for the sins of the world, his anger at the spoiling of the wonderful spring of eternal life that he had created in this world. God is enormously grieved and revolts against all of the wickedness and cruelty of man. He is wrathful. But what does he do with his wrath? He places it upon his Son. But remember who the Son is. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Jesus is one with God. He is the second person of the Trinity. And therefore, when we say that Jesus took the wrath of God, what we really mean is that God took his own wrath and placed it upon himself. He appeased, propitiated, that is, his own wrath. There is no more wrath for anyone who believes in Jesus Christ. There is no more judgment. He has taken away judgment. There is, therefore, Paul says in Romans 8, verse 1, no condemnation anymore for those who put their faith in Jesus Christ. God took his own wrath. God was so grieved at the loss of the world's opportunity. How he was going to have such a joyful world, just endlessly happy and wonderful and innocent and without pain and sorrow and grief, endlessly romping through the sunlit fields with joy and happiness, praising God, so thankful for him and God enjoying them. All of this beauty was lost at the fall. And God was crushed and angry, and yet he did not inflict us with that anger, but put it upon his own Son, put it upon himself in the person of his Son. Now you know that God's wrath is described in Romans 1, verse 24 and 26 and 28 as handing over. So God hands people over to the powers of sin. That is his wrath. But he took that upon himself, which is why Jesus was handed over to the powers of sin and why he said at the cross, my God, why have you handed me over? Why have you forsaken me? It was God in human flesh talking to God the Father in the kingdom of heaven in his confusion and utter terror over guilt that was not his but ours, over all the evil that was upon him. He cried out in terrible agony and died. And that death, my friend, was not from crucifixion. It was from a broken heart. If he died from crucifixion, he would have stayed on the cross 3 to 5 days. But he died in so many hours because his heart was crushed. God crushed himself. There was a split in the Trinity at the cross. There was a crisis of divinity at the cross. Now, my friends, all of this for you and me, which means this, that a lot of the blame and complaint and anger we have towards God is a projection of our own guilt because we do not know how to handle our guilt. We don't know how to forgive ourselves, so we make excuses, and the greatest excuse we make is that God didn't come through or didn't help and disappointed us. But let us suppose that you don't have to throw that guilt on God because God is not charging you with it anymore. You don't have to throw blame on God. You don't have to divert your own guilt by blaming God because God is not complaining against you and blaming you and accusing you anymore. This is where we meet the core solution to our anger towards God. When we know that our God has taken all of the guilt and judgment and punishment upon himself instead of dumping it on us, we get a shock. We get a spiritual surprise. We are stunned somewhat, embarrassed, ashamed, not in a diminishing way, but a healthy shame that says, "Oh dear God, here I have been trying to get rid of my guilt, dump it on you, instead of feeling it myself, and I don't have to feel that guilt in the first place, because you are not charging me with guilt, for I trust in Jesus Christ." And so, my friends, when we say, "I believe, but I'm mad at God," yes, you may be angry about certain things that have gone on in your life that you've written down and that you will try to work through with God. But the primary reason for being mad at God is that you don't know where to put your own guilt because you feel that God is charging you with something you couldn't help. And God our Father is doing the very opposite and saying, "My son, my daughter, I have taken your sins upon me. You have no more need to be angry with me." I'm glad to tell you, my friends, that the first response to my appeal for 10 new partners this month came through this morning, and I thank that brother very, very much. It's been my experience for a long time now with this radio broadcast that it does take about a good half of the month, or possibly three quarters of the month, before people do respond to the appeals. Again, I feel a bit apologetic that I have to give this appeal each week, or rather each day, but that's how it is, my friends, and people think about it and ponder and maybe check their bank account and see whether they can afford something each month, and so it takes a little bit of deciding, I realize that. If you would like to become a partner of this radio broadcast, that is, someone who donates on a monthly basis or a quarterly basis or annually or biannually, then please make your decision. Send your check to Faith Quest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado, 80160. You say, "How much do I send?" Well, whatever you can afford, whatever's convenient to you, whether it's $10 or $5 or $50 or $100 or $20 or $200 or more or less. Whatever works for your budget, my friends. Now, you may do this by sending a check to the address I just gave you, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado, 80160. Write it out to FaithQuest, or you can do it by PayPal. Simply go to our website, faithquestradio.com. Check the donations button there, and you'll see the PayPal icon, faithquestradio.com. If you want to take care of it by card, simply call me at 303-738-8694. That's 303-738-8694, and I'll take that off your card. Thank you, my friends, and I'll see you next time. Cheerio, and God bless.